American Maritime Voices was created to help you speak up, show your pride, and when needed, push back. The future of maritime is in your hands, and its story needs to be told. Will you help tell it?
Welcome back to the American Maritime Podcast, powered by Big Wig Podcasts. I'm your host, Jennifer Carpenter, and today we are delighted to have as our guest Tom Crowley, who is CEO and Chairman of Crowley Corporation, a true leader and innovator in the American maritime industry. Tom, thanks so much for being with us today.
Jennifer, it's my pleasure. I'm really, really glad to join you today and look forward to the conversation.
Well, there is so much that I want to ask you about, so let's get right into it. And let's just start at the beginning. Crowley has a rich history going all the way back to 1892, if I've got my numbers right. So how did it all start? How did this vision really start in your family?
Oh, that's that does go back a long ways, but goes back to my grandfather. He was born into a family that was in the boat business, and he worked with his brothers and uncles and cousins, and I got to learn the boat business. And as soon as he was old enough and earned enough money, he bought his own rowboat and started rowing out into San Francisco Bay to support the sailing vessels that were coming in with supplies and taking goods out of San Francisco Bay. So we got an early start, and it was all at that time self-propelled.
That is amazing. So 130 years later, here we are. What does the Jones Act mean, Tom, to you and your company and to what you've been able to do over the years?
Sure. The Jones Act is a longstanding law in this country, and it was originally put in place to help protect maritime jobs and national security. The Jones Act reserves trades that are within the continental United States and Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. Reserves those trades for vessels that are owned by Americans, crewed by Americans, and built by Americans. And this law was set in place to ensure that the maritime industry would be strong in our country, and that we would have access to mariners and vessels to support our interests offshore.
Yeah, fantastic. Just thinking about how far you have come as a company since the rowboat in 1892. Now you've got an electric tug on the books. You have become a leader in the development of American offshore wind, LNG bunkering. Talk to us a little bit about Crowley's leadership role in those initiatives and what role the Jones Act has played in making that kind of evolution possible.
Sure. Well, we've invested in many different maritime businesses, both domestically here in the United States and internationally. The American business has always been our core and a strong part of our culture, and we truly believe in supporting that those maritime interests. The investments that we made, we partner with U.S. shipbuilders to build these unique assets. In the case of the tug, it's the first all-electric tug to be built, and we'll be operating that in California in partnership with the state and the local port authorities. With respect to the LNG barge, again, we've partnered with an American yard, and we've designed this vessel specifically to bunker LNG to container ships that are serving the U.S. ports. So, I think that the Jones Act provides a platform from which we can continue to hone our shipbuilding capabilities, where we can crew these vessels and train the mariners on new technologies, and provide longstanding, good paying jobs to Americans. And that I'm proud, obviously, to be an American owner, which is the other requirement. But I think the real criticality is those jobs, the jobs that the Jones Act supports and makes available.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I love, just listening to your answer there. Sometimes folks act like, well, we got to choose between American jobs or really world-leading innovation. And you're proven right there, no, we don't. The Jones Act is making both of those things possible at the same time. It's great.
No question. And when the need arises, I think the industry's there. When the requirement for double hull tankers came about, the entire tanker industry came forward and rebuilt the fleet. When LNG became a source of power, we jumped on the opportunity and built ships for the Puerto Rican trade along with Tote. And those are the first LNG powered container ships of their size in the world. And our American crews got on board, never having operated an LNG ship before. And we were able to train them and get them up to speed, and they're moving all the goods to Puerto Rico that are consumed there. And it's exciting to see that the kind of technology deployed and American ingenuity put to work and these jobs that will be around for a long time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned Puerto Rico, because Crowley is obviously a major carrier delivering essential cargoes across the Caribbean. You are a leader in the Puerto Rico trade. Can you elaborate a little bit on what the Jones Act means to Puerto Rico and what life on the island might be like without the dedicated service that Jones Act carriers like Crowley provide?
Sure. I think that what's come from the investment made in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii, for that matter, is that there's a dedicated service. These vessels were built for that trade specifically, so they carry the cargoes that are required. And I think that without that, these locations would be served as go-by services from international carriers and would be an afterthought. We've dedicated service and our ships are in the case of Puerto Rico, a 2.5-day transit time. And we literally are the shelves of the local grocery store are carried aboard our ship. And if that ship does not show up, those shelves are empty. So we understand the critical nature of that trade, how important our supply chain is that's been built, and we want to ensure that products get delivered and are on the shelves and available when they're needed. And I just don't think that would happen if there wasn't a dedicated trade between the U.S. and Puerto Rico, and for that matter, Hawaii and Alaska as well.
Yeah, you know, Tom, I think that's a lesson a lot of people had to learn during the pandemic. The idea, you know, reliability, could we have empty shelves here? Yes, we can. And the Jones Act and the dedicated service that companies like Crowley provide ensures that we don't.
Welcome to American Maritime Voices, your place to be heard. As part of American Maritime, you are critical to moving and securing our country. And now you can help tell the story of maritime and be part of key decisions that affect it. American Maritime Voices was created to help you speak up, show your pride, and when needed, push back. It's free to become a voice, and we'll keep you informed of what's happening in Washington so you can help change the course of issues that matter most to you. As a voice, you'll get monthly updates, have access to podcasts and videos, and receive action alerts when your voice is needed most. The future of maritime is in your hands, and its story needs to be told. Will you help tell it?
On any given day in Washington, policy proposals are created, debated, and decimated by tens of thousands of people and organizations working behind the scenes. On 80 Proof Politics, a guest and I will visit a D.C. watering hole and distill the art of advocacy by pulling back the curtain a bit and taking a look at how they play their part in the sausage factory we call our federal government. So if you're at all interested in how the sausage is made, pull up a chair, grab a drink, and join us. After all, what goes better with sausage than a tall, cold one?
Let's shift gears a little bit, talk about national security, because that's obviously a huge part of the Jones Act value proposition. Crowley is a significant partner with MARAD, with the Military Sealift Command. Just talk a little bit about the role of the American maritime industry in national security, in sealift, in keeping our country strong and secure.
Yeah, the American maritime industry has really built a very strong relationship with the Department of Defense, and in terms of supporting our interests in the maritime sector, having Americans available to operate ships, I think there's nothing more important in terms of national security than to have that capability. For us to give up American mariners as an occupation or as a capability would be so short-sighted. And DoD recognizes that, they understand that, and they've worked very, very closely with us to ensure that the national security element of the Jones Act is understood and people understand the consequences of not having that availability of an American mariner. I think it's critical, and I think that the Department of Defense agrees with that.
Yeah, hear. And you have certainly put your money where your mouth is when it comes to trying to develop the American Merchant Marine, being very generous with scholarships. Talk to us a little bit about what Crowley has done, is doing to foster the American maritime workforce that is so important to our supply chain and our security.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the end result is the mariner, if they can get through the education and licensing portion of becoming a mariner, they're fantastic jobs. They're great opportunities. There's good pay. There's great teamwork, leadership, all kinds of skills that you'll learn. And so, you know, we feel investing in the educational aspect of that is going to give us a higher quality mariner at the end of that process. And it's proved to be the case. And these mariners sail aboard our vessels. They sometimes come ashore, become leaders, you know, leaders in our company. I think that it's a great investment. It's a great investment in our future, and the young folks that are joining our industry are very impressive people. They're, you know, some of them have grown up in the maritime industry and know, you know, a tremendous amount. They come from, you know, lines of parents and uncles and grandparents that have been mariners in the past, but then you have others that have never been to sea or even know what a ship is, for that matter. And so it's wonderful to see those people learning about this industry and going to sea on a vessel. And it's just, it's incredibly eye-opening and very rewarding for us to help move these young people into our industry, and so important.
Oh, that is fantastic. And, you know, there are so many new opportunities emerging for American maritime right now. Offshore wind is just front and center in my mind, and Crowley is a leader in developing this great new American maritime opportunity. Can you talk a little bit, Tom, about how you see the offshore wind opportunity evolving for our country and for the maritime industry?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think even in our 130 plus year history, we've never seen anything like this before. It's an industry that really doesn't exist today. It's been talked about for many years, but nothing has really materialized. And we're on the cusp of that as we speak. And that this industry, it's rare for a country like the United States to see an industry that it hasn't seen before. A brand new industry. That needs to be supported. Needs to be supported with all kinds of service and capability, from the construction all the way to the maintenance and ongoing operations of those wind farms. So the need for renewable power is clearly upon us, and the offshore resource that's available has not been tapped. But it's about to, and the opportunities are really endless in terms of new jobs and new capabilities that must get developed. So we've put that in the forefront of our future strategy, and we want to be a major player in that space.
It's really exciting stuff. Can you elaborate a little bit, Tom, on the reliability that American Maritime provides to the development of offshore wind? And what do you need? What do companies like Crowley need, regulators, partners, to understand and to do in order to be able to really tap into that?
Yeah, I think a lot of things need to come together for us to be successful in building out the scale and scope of the wind farms that are being planned. So have to work very closely with labor. We have to work very closely with the shipbuilding industry to make sure that the capabilities exist with respect to innovation and design and the building of vessels. Then the crewing, the training, all of the aspects of putting people out into that environment safely and with the skills needed to get the job done. So I think it's critical that we all work together. And then with federal and state and even local communities, the importance that this plays in generating jobs and investments in communities, it's critical that we work together to make this happen, because no one entity can do it alone. It's really a question of teamwork and bringing the components together to make this happen.
Yeah, we really are building a whole new industry from the ground up in the U.S. What do you say to critics, Tom, who say, you know, all of that is going to be really, really expensive? Can we afford to rely on American Maritime and American Mariners? Or is that going to slow the build out of offshore wind by making it too costly?
Yeah, I mean, there are many elements of cost to building offshore, and it's certainly going to be more expensive than building onshore. There's no question about that. And the American market, American geography also creates different issues than Europe. But I think the innovative capabilities that we've brought to the table with respect to using construction vessels, but by creating a supply chain with tugs and barges to be able to shuttle the parts and pieces out to build the farms, is going to create a very efficient process. And we've done a lot of testing and we've done a lot of work to understand what that operation is going to entail. And we're putting the parts and pieces together to ensure that that capability exists and that we're there to help support the construction of the wind farms and the ongoing operation and support. We have a vessel under construction, a service vessel that will be able to go out and service the wind farm after it's built. So whether it's construction or ongoing service, I think American companies are here to support and here to make the necessary investments for the future.
It's really exciting stuff. So Crowley recently announced plans to bring your offshore wind expertise to Northern California. Tell us a little bit about what you have in mind there and how that is going to change the supply chain structure and the job market for the better.
Sure. Well, we have a soft spot in our heart for California, having started in San Francisco Bay. So it's great to be back in Humboldt County. Where we believe there's a real opportunity to support the offshore wind industry that's beginning to unfold on the West Coast. It's going to be very different than the East Coast, and I think it's important for us to have a hand in both developments. It brings a different set of skills, but there's skills that we've developed over the years supporting the offshore industry and in other places. So also in operating in California, we've been there for a long time. So I think the opportunity is big. There's no question that the offshore wind industry is not as far developed as it is on the East Coast. So it's probably a longer term play here, but one that's just as important and will require a unique set of skills to really figure out how to get that done.
so much opportunity there. So, you know, what's next as you look forward kind of at the American maritime industry broadly and then at Crowley as a 130-plus-year-old company in particular? How do you see the next 10, 20 years unfolding? What opportunities are you excited about? What transformation do you envision?
Well, that's such a wide open question. I think we've talked a lot about wind. We see that playing a big part. What's maybe something we haven't talked much about is technology and what that's going to do with respect to our industry. We're just beginning to see the real impacts. While we've had technology isolated, you know, aboard vessels, and we have technology deployed in our offices, the link between the two has always been a real challenge. And 6 or 7 months ago, we started piloting a Starlink satellite communication system. And the performance of that system really just was off the charts in comparison to what we've been used to in the past. And so, you know, we really see that opening up a whole new set of opportunities. This, you know, whether it's collecting data aboard the vessel or improving communications, making the job on board the vessel less administratively burdensome. There's just so many opportunities connecting our crew with their families and with their life, like we are all connected with our phone. When you're at sea, they have not had that luxury. So, today, with investments in technology and communications, I think there's just going to be a plethora of new opportunities available that we don't even see today or even think about today. So we're very excited about that and really excited about making the necessary investments to get that to happen.
That's really exciting. Just harnessing technology to not only improve the maritime experience for the workforce, but also to make things safer, more efficient, more environmentally friendly. Cool stuff. Tom, I know you are an extremely busy person, and so I want to be respectful of your time. Before we close out this episode of American Maritime Podcast, anything else we haven't touched on that you want to mention for our listeners? Anything you want to put a little finer point on, dig deeper into?
Well, no, I mean, I think, you know, we've hit all the topics. I think that the American maritime industry is strong. There's so much opportunity ahead. And I think, as I alluded to earlier, it's really the partnerships that we need to build and working together to really take advantage of those opportunities that are ahead. So we're very excited about what we're working on, but we're also recognize that the partnerships are equally important, and we want to ensure that we invest the time and resources into building really the capability across the entire industry.
Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, for all that your company does for our industry and for our country, and just for taking the time to share a little bit of your experience with us. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to this episode of the American Maritime Podcast, powered by Big Wig Podcasts. I hope that you will share it with others who are interested in learning more about the American maritime industry and how it supports our country. I also hope you'll take the time to go to AmericanMaritimeVoices.org and sign up to be a voice in support of our great industry. We need you. We are stronger when we stand together. That's all for today. I'm Jennifer Carpenter, signing off.
Faith in the news media has been challenged, making it even harder to get stories told. The Friday Reporter podcast was created to help audiences better understand the media by hosting journalists who will answer the questions to which we need answers. Join me every Friday to hear more.